There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Listening to Dubai, what a 3.8. Big thanks to the legend that is Mike Phillips, one of the finest players ever to grace rugby fields the world over, and now taking the game by storm in a coaching role as well. He's been sought after, but he's out of ES right now. We can get away with it. Cheers for Mike. Right, let's go to a roundup of what's happening in the world of sports. We start with the rugby on the back of what Philly was telling us about there. Let's get the latest from Mark Archer.
Early kickoffs in the European Champions Cup, two matches underway. Both started into the 5 p.m. UAE time into the second half now. Glasgow are leading Lyon in France 20 points to 10. Tries to Adam Ash and George Horn. Adam Hastings has kicked a couple of conversions and a penalty there for Glasgow. So Glasgow 20, Lyon 10. And in Exeter, Exeter Chiefs have taken the lead against your beloved Gloucester. Again, 12 points to 10. So that's 5 minutes into the second half. Exeter 12, Gloucester 10. Plenty of action also taking place over in the Cape Town Sevens. I can tell you that Scotland, Australia and Fiji have won two matches today. We'll bring you bang up to date shortly with all the latest results as well.
Thanks much indeed. Let's go to the early kickoff from the Premier League. Chris McCarthy's watching this one. A little one-sided, me think.
It certainly is. It's been very impressive. I said it and I'm sounding like a broken record. Not perhaps as flamboyant, this Liverpool side, as they were last season, but my goodness, they've made things look so easy again today. Bournemouth are a decent side coming into this one. 4 wins from their 8 home games this season for Eddie Howe's men. 15 minutes remaining at the Vitality Stadium. It's Bournemouth 0, Liverpool 3. Mohamed Salah has scored twice. The first of those, very fortunate. Marginal, but he was offside. There's no doubt in my mind about that. The second goal was typical. Mo Salah showed wonderful poise, wonderful balance, and he's in again as Mo Salah. He's round Asmir Begovic. This could be a hat-trick for Mo Salah. Oh, he's dilly-dally. He's gone round the keeper again. Oh, my goodness. What a goal. What a goal. Mo Salah is back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not sure if he ever went away, but Mo Salah has got a hat-trick this afternoon for Liverpool, and that was absolutely class. He has rounded Asmir Begovic. He's rounded him once. He's then rounded him twice. He's kept his composure. He's looking for the perfect angle, looking for the finish. And then as defenders come in to close him, just toe pokes in at the back of the net.
What is this? There is a story going developing here. No celebrations. And he just looks angry as well every time he scores.
Well, I think certainly on the second occasion, I think he was injured. Steve Cook undoubtedly caught him just on the back of the Achilles. So I think the muted celebrations from the second goal was more of an injury. But looking at this again, it was wonderful balance again. He's so composed. He rounds Begovic again, and two defenders on the line, outside of the left boot, into the bottom corner. Mohamed Salah has a hat-trick. I am gutted because he's not in my fantasy football team, and I know he's in Robbie Greenfield's as well. I can only hope that he's not made him captain for the day. But it is Bournemouth 0, Liverpool 4. They are very much in with a real shout, and I mean this. I know we're only 16 matches into the campaign, but they very much are in with a real shout of winning and ending their hoodoo. 1990 for the last time that Liverpool celebrated league success.
Real festival of football here this afternoon, because this is the early kickoff. We've got 5 Premier League games kicking off in just under an hour's time, 55 minutes time, for the 7 o'clock kickoffs locally here in the UAE. Then we've got our 9:30, and then as an added bonus, there's a late game as well, a lot to look forward to as well. With regards to those kicking off at 7 o'clock here in the UAE, Southampton at Cardiff, who are under a new management. Man United without winning 4 games. A defeat would give them lowest points after 16 matches in Premier League. They're also in action. But our feature match is down at the Emirates, is that right?
Yes, at Emirates Stadium. It is Arsenal, the Gunners, coming off the back of 20 matches unbeaten in all competitions. They're taking on the Terriers of Huddersfield Town, and one man who will be calling the action for us live on 7net from 7pm on Dubai 103.8. It is, of course, Russell Hargreaves, and I'm delighted to say that Russell joins us now live on the line from the UK. A very good afternoon to you, Russell.
Yeah, good to speak to you guys. How are you keeping?
Very well indeed. The weather is beautiful over here. Is that the same over there in the UK?
It's not too bad. There was a little bit of drizzle in the air earlier, but it has cleared. I think there'll be a residual little bit of slipperiness on the pitch, but on the whole, it's pretty calm. It's pretty dry. And yeah, the battle is set fair with a game I think Arsenal should win, and should win fairly handsomely.
Indeed, let's talk about Arsenal if we can. I've been watching them very closely over the course of the season, as I'm sure many of us have in the wake of Arsene Wenger's departure. Unai Emery has come in. Have they surprised you, Russell, in all honesty? Because speaking to an awful lot of Arsenal fans, they would admit en masse that he has surprised them. They didn't expect their evolution to be where it is at this point in time.
Yeah, I mean, you look at their first two defeats of the season, their first two games, Chelsea and Man City, to be fair, very tough matches where they showed flashes, but I think you're spot on to say 20 unbeaten from there, nobody did see coming. They still have rickety moments. I cover Arsenal a lot for TalkSport Live and also for Arsenal's TV channel as well. I've seen most of their games in various capacities this season, and they always struggle in the first half. That's the big issue. They've not led at half-time in a Premier League game so far this season. Only they and Cardiff City have that stat, but second half, absolutely outstanding. The most goals, the most points of any team in the second halves of games in the Premier League. They just come so strong, and that mental fortitude that Unai Emery has instilled in the players is outstanding. They've got more points from losing positions than any other team in the Premier League as well, and that's the big step up for me from the Arsene Wenger era, particularly toward the end of it. These players puff their chests out. They work so hard for each other, and they believe, and they cover the ground. They find little areas of the field where perhaps a teammate is out of position or struggling or has slipped or is injured, and they just plug the holes, and they're a much more seamless unit now, and on the whole it's working very, very well.
Yeah, not without its controversy though, Arsenal Football Club this week. Some CCTV images posted all over one of the famous Red Top newspapers over there in the UK. Allegations that some of the players, and we're talking some of the big stars, if you will, the Alexander Lacazette, the Mesut Ozil, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang as well, inhaling nitrous oxide, I think is what it's called. I know it's got another funkier name than that. But what have you made of those allegations? What are the clubs saying on it?
So the club have reminded their players of their responsibilities. So it came out in Friday morning's newspapers over here. That was sort of about 5-6 in the morning when I was presenting my breakfast show, funnily enough. And by 9, the club had already released a statement just saying, we're not going to take any firm major action here. It was pre-season. It was in a private party in London's West End. It was part of the pre-season bonding of the team with new faces coming in, other faces like the names you've mentioned. You've only been at the club for maybe one and a half seasons, just trying to blend. And I'm not excusing it wasn't right. Let's be fair, it's a legal high, nitrous oxide. It's not an illegal thing to do. It's a dangerous thing to do because it clearly has health ramifications. It was all embroiled with kind of, you know, a fairly big drinking session and so on. It didn't reflect the club in a great light, but Arsenal have said it was pre-season. It wasn't during match time. Players, as I say, reminded of their responsibilities. We move on. Unai Emery's a hard taskmaster. He likes fit players. He likes disciplined players on and off the field. I know he wasn't happy about all of this. The decision, though, is not to punish, not to dock wages, not to take players out of the firing line. Just turn the page, move on, and be very aware that this should not happen again, and particularly during playing time during a season.
Focusing matters back on the pitch, if we can, Russ, who has stood out for you in this new-look Arsenal? I know Lucas Torreira is getting an awful lot, and rightly so, the little Uruguayan pit bull who has been a wonderful addition to that midfield. But for you, what has Unai done in terms of evolving the system, the personnel, that really stands out?
Yeah, he's been brilliant. He's only 5'5". He comes from Uruguay. Torreira, he's got his chance already, and that's after a handful of games, and that's partially impressive, isn't it? I think the new spine of Arsenal is outstanding. Real shame that they've lost Rob Holding for 9 months with a cruciate knee ligament injury picked up from that challenge by Marcus Rashford against Man United in the week, because the new kind of three or two-man central defence, depending on the matches, and then with Torreira and Xhaka playing like a much-improved player when he's not suspended, sitting in front, and then the likes of Aubameyang and Lacazette in a mobile kind of fluid system up front. The new spine of Arsenal looks much more secure, looks much more kind of potential ridden, I think, for the long term. So I really like the way that Emery has identified areas of the field where he wanted to improve. But Leno in goal still has the odd rickety moment, but ball at his feet, he's so much stronger than Peter Cech. The moves, the attacks that Arsenal can get flowing as a result are excellent. There are just various players who have either come in and improved or have just got better due to the Unai Emery kind of training methods and the tactics that he instills. So, as I say, it's still a work in progress. They're still not the finished article, and he knows that more than anybody. But the run they're on is outstanding. They've got a fair few winnable games coming up as well, and Arsenal are not too far away. So good on them. They're already qualified in Europe for the knockouts of the Europa League. They can take that a little bit easier. Got Carabao Cup quarterfinal against Spurs coming up. The FA Cup starting as well. It's an exciting time to be in and around Emirates Stadium.
It certainly is. And a quick word as well for Huddersfield Town. David Wagner, what a job he has done at that football club to take them where he has. Is there a suggestion, though, that perhaps he's taken them as far as he can?
tricky one. I mean, they've lost their last two, having been unbeaten in three before that, and they've slipped back down to 17th in the table. I commentated on them for TalkSport International in midweek when they went to Bournemouth and lost 2-1. In that game, guys, they dominated the vast majority of the stats. They had about 70% territory in possession. They had almost double the shots and shots on goal than the Cherries, but shipped a couple of early goals, got one back, couldn't get the equaliser, and scoring goals has been their biggest issue. David Wagner's spoken at length the last couple of weeks about how his strike force just can't get in more than a handful of goals combined over the course of a campaign, and it's not good enough. I think they need major investment up front over the course of the January transfer window. They've got Christopher Lowe, one of their key defenders, back from injury for the first time in weeks today. That's good news for them. It's a solid squad. As we know, David Wagner's picked lots of players he knows from his time in the Bundesliga, combined with a few kind of local talents as well, and it's moulded, it's solid, but second season syndrome is always so hard, and it's a tougher Premier League this year. That's the other thing that Wagner has said. His team, he thinks, is better than last year. He thinks they're playing better than last year, but the strength in depth week in, week out of this year's division is so, so tough, and that's why the Terriers have struggled. And by the way, head to head, not beaten Arsenal away in the league since 1954. They've lost their last 10, or they've not managed to win any of their last 10 head to head, and that included a 5-0 defeat in this fixture last season as well. So the stats not looking good, I've got to say, for today.
And the team news for today then, Russell Aubameyang, does he start for the Gunners?
He most certainly does, he does. So Arsenal make three changes to the team that drew 2-2 at Manchester United. Stefan Lichtsteiner is in for Rob Holding after that knee injury. Aaron Ramsey is out with a niggle, turned his ankle in that same match. In comes Granit Xhaka, who was suspended previously, so the Xhaka-Torreira combination returns and Lacazette starts. He came off the bench in the last game. Alex Iwobi drops down to the bench, plays alongside, therefore, Aubameyang. That's the Arsenal team. Three changes for Huddersfield as well. Philip Billing is suspended. Derm and Hadejonai drop down to the bench. And it's the American Danny Williams, the aforementioned Chris Lowe, and club captain and stalwart Tommy Smith. They come back into the 11th for the away side.
Before I let you go, Russell, just a quick word. I've just had a little look at the Manchester United starting 11 today. They're at home to Fulham. Still no Paul Pogba. He is left on the bench yet again. Romelu Lukaku does come back in for Jose Mourinho. Still an awful lot being written and said, rightly so, about that football club, given their woes this season. We talked to Adam Bridge about it a couple of weeks ago. Give me your own appraisal of what is going on at Manchester United. Is it inevitable that Jose and the club, there will be a parting of ways? And if that's to be the case, can you see that coming mid-season?
I can't see it coming mid-season. I could see it coming in the summer. There was a big story, again, in the back of the newspapers here a couple of days ago about how maybe Maurizio Pochettino, the Spurs boss, would come in the summer. He's their number one, and as we understand it, only target, the only man that the Old Trafford hierarchy would wish to perhaps replace Jose Mourinho with. I think a lot depends on where United finish this season. They're eighth at the moment in the Premier League. They're 19 points, I think, if memory serves, off Manchester City at the top. If Jose can somehow get them into the top four, I think he would definitely keep his job if he wanted it. That's unlikely for me. I think sixth is probably the most likely they will muster, unless one of the big five, as things currently stand, implode big time. The most likely to me of that might be Chelsea, who've hit the skids a little bit in recent times. But you look at the Pogba situation, awful a couple of matches ago. Body language absolutely stunk the place out, didn't it? Did okay coming off the bench, I've got to say, against Arsenal. Nothing outstanding. Hasn't done enough to earn his place back. All these rumours about Jose supposedly calling him a virus at St Mary's in the dressing room after that game, charming. And then with Lukaku, newspaper headlines this morning about how apparently he's sick of Mourinho, doesn't think he's evolved his game, wants to move on to a new club with a new challenge. Interesting, after being dropped, that he's back in for this one. Mourinho needs him, he needs goals. It's going to be a fascinating few months ahead, and it still could go either way, but for me I think Jose will go, but not possibly until May.
Interesting. Certainly a lot of Man United fans out there will be taking that on board, I'm sure. Russell, before we let you go, just quickly, prediction then, Arsenal-Huddersfield. It is our featured match, 7 p.m. on Dubai 103.8, courtesy of you guys over there at TalkSport. Give me a result, a prediction, please.
Well, Arsenal have scored in the last 14 games in the league, and they've shipped a goal in their last eight, so I think there will be goals at both ends. I am going to say Arsenal 4, Huddersfield 1.
Heard it here first. Russell Hargreaves, looking forward to. Who have you got alongside you this afternoon in the commentary booth?
I have got David Priest, the former Sunderland, Plymouth and Aberdeen goalkeeper, who's a top man, and he's going to be joining me with you guys, and we can't wait to be with you in a few minutes.
I remember Priesty as well, up at the Aberdeen, eh? I remember those guys as well. Darlington as well, yeah, indeed. Say hello to him. Looking forward to it, Russell. We will be with you from 7 p.m. It is Arsenal-Huddersfield. It is our featured match. Dubai 103.8. Thanks, Russ.
No worries, guys. Always a pleasure. Thanks for your time.
Big thanks to Russell for joining us live on the line there. Chris McCarty, just got a couple of your thoughts there. He talked there about the Rob Holding injury. That was so innocuous, wasn't it?
It was massively innocuous. He was just a challenge, wasn't it? It was a little bit of a late challenge and his knee just gave way.
Over the sideline, wasn't it?
You could tell straight away, though. As soon as a player gets his leg strapped like that, you knew it was serious. You knew there was ligament damage there. And as Russell's rightly pointed out, 9 months, which is such a shame. He was over here with Arsenal earlier this year. He came over with Callum Chambers and Hector Bellerin for Arsenal Soccer Schools. A lovely fella, a genuine lovely bloke. Came up through the ranks at Bolton Wanderers. Arsenal and Arsene Wenger took a punt on him. Still was a bit of a Rocky Horror show from a defender point of view, but Unai Emery's got in with him. He's improved immeasurably this season, and I'm sure Gareth Southgate was keeping one eye on his progress. Unfortunately, that has now been curtailed. He will be out for 9 months, which is a real blow to the lad and to the football club as well.
You like a bit of trivia, don't you?
I do.
Do you like a bit of trivia? Going to give you a trivia question to have a little think about before we go to the break, okay? And then we'll see if we can't come back with a couple of right answers for you. Arch, feel free to dive in whenever you wish as well. This has been posted, so let's see if we can't get an answer. So if Brighton's Florent Andone bags at Turf Moor today, he will become only the third Romanian to score in three consecutive Premier League appearances. You know where I'm going with this one, don't you?
Name the other two Romanians.
We will come back with the answers and suggestions after that. 4001 if you'd like to add yours.
This is The Grill. Get involved with Dubai Eye on Facebook.
Right, let's find out what's going on in the world of sport at the moment. We'll come back to those. We reckon Mutu's one, don't we?
Yeah, in terms of those two Romanians, other than who is it that's about to try and break it or is going to break
Florin,
it?
Who is it, the guy? Florin Andone.
Andone for Brighton, yes it was. So I think Adrian Mutu, the other names that I was thinking, you've got Moldovan, who stunk the place out at Coventry City. Moldovan did. A member of that Romania team that beat England in one of the Euros. Moldovan, you've got the guy that was awful for you boys, West Ham. Radici.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
You've got Georgi Popescu, who played for Tottenham back in the early 90s. You were of the opinion it could be Dan Petrescu.
Only because he's the only Romanian I know that played in the Premier League. So I thought I'd throw him in the mix.
There's another one as well, Dimitru as well. Dimitru played for Spurs as well. Another Romanian striker.
We'll have a little think about that one. The answer still hasn't come through as yet. It's been posted on a social media site, so we'll keep an eye on that one for you and let you know the answer as and when we get it. There is action in the Premier League at the moment.
Yeah, there is. We're into the final minute of five added minutes at the end of this match. Liverpool have been excellent today. They really have, and they will deservedly so head up back to Liverpool with the 3 points. If you are just tuning in to us this afternoon, it's Bournemouth 0, Liverpool 4. Now, that is a huge result. It really is. Bournemouth have been in fine form, sitting seventh in the Premier League this season. But Liverpool have just done a number. Just far too cute for them today. They've been robust defensively. And then going forward, you've had Mo Salah, who has been, back to the Mo Salah that we came to know and appreciate last season. A hat-trick for the Egyptian. He has been the match winner. He has been the standout performer. An own goal as well from Steve Cook, who's had a day to forget, the Bournemouth centre half. But again, Liverpool toying with the opposition. No Joe Gomez today. James Milner forced in at right back. Jerdan Shaqiri given a start. And there is the full-time whistle. It has finished Bournemouth 0, Liverpool 4. Mo Salah just picks up the ball. Fitting that he would be the last man to touch the ball at the end of that match. So he just has to bend down, pop up the ball. He'll get that signed by the teammates. And away he goes.
Just to bring up to date with other football as well, Atletico Madrid has smashed Alaves in the early kickoff over in the Spanish La Liga. 3-0 it finished there. There is an early over in Italy as well that's just got underway with Napoli taking on Frosinone. Napoli have taken an early lead in that one as well. It's 1-0 to Napoli as we speak. Keep you updated on that one. Let's go to the world of cricket now. Mark Archer can put us in the picture.
I was going to give you a score update from Cape Town.
You just go rogue,
let's start with rugby and then move to cricket. I just want to bring you a couple of scores coming from HSBC Sevens World Series. It's the defending champions, New Zealand, taking on Samoa at the moment. They lead that match in Paul A, 12 points to 7. Big win for South Africa. They just beat their African rival Zimbabwe, 43-0. Couple of wins today for Scotland, Australia, Fiji and the USA have all won two matches. So it's the three-round robin matches today, and then the teams will play quarterfinals, semi-finals and finals tomorrow. Just also a couple of scores taking place in the world of rugby in the European Champions Cup. The early kickoffs, one is in France with Lyon taking on the Glasgow Warriors, And the second match is over in the West Country, Tom. It's Exeter Chiefs taking on your beloved Gloucester. I can tell you that in France, Lyon, the home team, trail Glasgow Warriors 23 points to 15. So it's all going well for Glasgow in that match. And in the West Country derby, Tom will be cheering. 62 minutes gone. It's Gloucester 18, Exeter 12. So there, that game's been up and down for both teams, but Exeter, Gloucester lead Exeter with 18 minutes to go, 18 points to 12. You want to talk some cricket now?
Mate, it's up to you. You just make it up as you go along. That's fine.
Yeah, let's talk cricket because there's a massive test match taking place down in Australia at the Adelaide Oval. Day three, stumps on day three of the first test match. Australia hosting India. The match is delicately poised. India finished today 151 for three. Chetishwar Pujara is having a mammoth match for the Indian national side. 123 in the first innings. He's 40 not out in the second innings. The captain, Virat Kohli, he scored 34. Earlier in the day, Australia were dismissed for 235. Travis Head was the top scorer for 72. So at stumps after 3 days of this first test match, India lead Australia by 166 runs with seven innings remaining. I think India slightly ahead on points at this stage. If they can get a lead of over 250, it's going to be tough going for Australia in days four and five. But key wicket just before stumps today was that of Virat Kohli. He'd built his innings nicely to 34. But this is what happened when Virat Kohli got to 34 just before stumps.
The Aussies, they are working so hard. And there it is!
That's what they wanted. It's a big wicket. Virat Kohli, and finally Nathan Lyon gets his man.
Yeah, bit of luck to the Aussies. Some bounce and turn out of that rough. Virat Kohli prods forward and finally one goes to hand and the inside edge is found.
Look at that.
Just short of the rough, wasn't it, that rough patch? But beautiful delivery, dropped and spun. Kohli committed to the front foot lunge. Definitely put a silly bit off now for the new batsman.
That was interesting. That was Virat Kohli. Now, when Virat Kohli came to the crease today, the Australian crowd got a bit vocal and they actually gave him a bit of a warm introduction. They started booing him as he came. They gave him applause in the first innings. Then they realised he's such a big threat. But this is what the former Australian captain Ricky Ponting had to say about the crowd in Adelaide booing Virat Kohli.
Ricky, we saw Virat Kohli get booed when he walked out onto the ground today. It's something you've experienced yourself in England. What did you make of that?
Crowds must have woken up after the first innings because they gave him a big hand of a round of applause going out in the first innings. I don't like seeing it at all. I mean, it didn't worry me as a player in England when it happened a couple of times, but you almost got to accept it as a bit of acknowledgement for what you've done in the game, I guess. So, but look, I'd rather not see that happen at all.
Oh, and that is sublime batting from Virat Kohli. He makes it look so very easy.
So how do you think Virat will take that? Do you think that'll be the same as you, that he sort of sees it as a bit of respect as well?
Yeah, water off a duck's back, I'm sure. He's probably had worse things happen to him on a cricket field than being booed by a couple of spectators as he walks on.
Right, more positive shot making from Travis Head.
Travis Head, we saw batted quite well last night and couldn't quite get three figures today. Early in his test career, what have you made of him sort of two and a half tests in?
I've known Travis for a long time. I've had quite a few dealings with Travis over the last 5 or 6 years since he took over the captaincy at South Australia, and I've spent a bit of time around the Australian short white ball teams as well, and of which he's been a part. So I'm really impressed by him as a player and as a person. He's a very level-headed young man, very, very calm and pretty confident in his own game. And you know, when you play a home test match as well, there's that little bit of added pressure. So for him to come up and stand up like he did in this game with all his family and friends around, and more importantly when his team needed to, I thought he played exceptionally well, and I think the future's quite bright.
That was the former Australian captain Ricky Ponting talking about the booing, the warm introduction by the Aussie crowd to the Indian captain Virat Kohli, and also talking about the success of Travis Head, who top scored for Australia with 72 in that first innings of 235. Let's just listen to Travis Head talking about the day's play and where the game is currently from the Australian mindset.
Yeah, I think it's evenly poised. I think a nice little wicket there at the end there. It makes for another big hour like it was this morning. Leading into the new ball, if we can get a couple of wickets, put them under pressure. I thought the bowlers did a wonderful job tonight to contain, I guess, and continue to put pressure on for the whole innings. I felt like they bowled extremely well. It was nice to contribute, I guess. Tough last night. Disappointing not to stick around with Lino. He's hanging in there, hanging tough. It's nice that the tail were able to get some runs and put us in a closer position. Disappointing once he got going and he was sticking out there that I wasn't able to hang with him for a little bit longer. I think the way he played in the first innings was probably the blueprint for this wicket. I guess being the home ground and being in, watching Shield cricket a lot here, that driving the ball early on day one is hard work against a new ball, and he didn't do that. He had a really good leaving game, good forward defence, picked off his runs, and then as the ball got softer, got more and more runs. So I think he had the perfect blueprint, and then I guess watching that and knowing how tough that wicket can be at times with the new ball and with the bowlers bowling well, he played exceptionally well.
You looked absolutely filthy with yourself when you got out. Can you talk us through that? Because you almost didn't even acknowledge the crowd as you were walking on.
Yeah, I think I only got a couple of extra runs today. It was just disappointing. Disappointing the moment of the game, I guess, to feel the momentum, I guess, swing back. And Lino doing a wonderful job out there and hanging with me. I just wanted to continue on, and felt like that if we could keep doing it for a period of time, we could sneak a lead, we could keep putting them under pressure. So I think it's just I'm never happy getting out. But I guess in the moment, in the context of the game, I felt like it was a really big moment to, I guess, hang around a little longer, and we could have kept him out there a bit longer. So, yeah, pretty disappointing. Well, I think this year, especially, I think the biggest scores have been made and teams have batted out draws, which just hasn't been happening in the past. So I think this year especially, the wicket's probably got better. It's more of a case of a new ball wicket at the minute. I think the first 20, 30 overs with the new ball are hard work, and then as the ball gets a little bit softer, it becomes easier, and then it's vital to win their moments when that new ball comes around again. So I think if we can get them wickets in the morning and then put them under real pressure with the new ball, anything's gettable, but it's down to our bowlers. I think we can restrict them enough. But I think we've found that plus 300, I think Wacker's chased a lot a couple of weeks ago, and Sean got 170 not out. So on day four and five, it becomes easier to bat. So I think in our dressing room, we're happy to chase anything, but probably the least the better.
That was Travis Head, the Australian batsman who top scored for the Aussies today in their total of 235. Head scored 72. But at stumps at the end of the play, India lead Australia by 166 runs with 7 wickets remaining. One man who performed well with the ball today was Jasprit Bumrah for the Indian side. He talks about how well Chetisha Pujara has done in this match. As we said, 123 in the first innings. He's holding the Indian innings together in the second innings with 40 not out. And this is what Bumrah had to say at the end of today's play.
I think it's slightly in our favour because the late wicket was a good thing for them. But I think we have a good lead if we capitalise tomorrow. First session tomorrow will be a very important session if we capitalise on that. So that will leave us in a very good place in this match.
Jasper, can you just talk a bit about Pujara and the way he's batted both first day and today? Because he's obviously been the difference in the match so far.
Yeah, absolutely. Because he's showed a lot of patience. That is the key element in Test cricket. He knows his game in and out. He knows his strengths. So he's playing around that strength. He knows to leave the ball well. He's playing with the bowler's patience as well. So yeah, he's done that over the years as well. He started to play with a lot of maturity, so that's his strength. So, yeah, obviously, a great knock, and hopefully continues tomorrow.
Just please spoke about Pujara's patience, but you guys also, as a unit, were very patient yesterday. You didn't give any driving balls, even though not much was happening off the wicket. Was that a plan, or was that something that you adjusted to once the...
Yeah, we're trying to figure out the lengths, what are useful over here, because once we've played in South Africa and England, there was a lot of movement, a lot of lateral movement. Here, the wickets are slightly flatter because you get bounce, but you have to be consistent. This is the thing that we've read over the years. So we're trying to focus on that if we don't give runs, we are creating pressure from both ends. So then we could get wickets.
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
We're just working through some of the team news that's coming through for our 7 o'clock kickoffs in the Premier League. Let's start with Manchester United. As you mentioned to Russell Hargreaves just a few moments ago, Chris McCarthy, Lukaku back, Pogba not.
Indeed, yes, Pogba left on the bench. Manchester United have wrung the changes from their midweek 2-2 draw at home to Arsenal, so they've reverted back to a back four. Chris Smalling comes back in to this heart of the defence alongside Phil Jones. Ashley Young in at left back. It's Diego Dalot. He will start at right back. The midfield two, Nemanja Matic and Ander Herrera. And then it's Marcus Rashford, Juan Mata, Jesse Lingard, with the big man Romelu Lukaku leading the line. As for Fulham, Claudio Ranieri still finding his feet in West London. They've gone with Sergio Rico in goals, the Spaniard. Then it's Dennis Odoi in at right back, Tim Ream, the American centre-half, alongside Alfie Mawson, and then Joe Bryan given a start at left back, the former Bristol City man. The midfield two is Michel Seri and Nguiza, the man that they brought in from Marseille. Then comes André Schürrle, Tom Kearney and Ryan Sessegnon, with Alexander Mitrovic, the big Serbian, leading the line. So matching up.
I know we're going to hear from Mourinho in a few minutes' time, and I know a lot is said about Mourinho and his tactics. It's just strange, and again, I don't read the game as intricately and expertly as you read the game, but I watched that Arsenal-Man U game at the weekend, and I was impressed with Bailey, and I thought that he played well. He got a lot of touches on the ball. He was given a bit more of a range to move forward. A couple of the passes went missing, but at least he was trying to get a bit forward. He was trying to get on the ball. And I just thought it was a much more sort of positive role for him. Fast forward 3 days, he's not in the team.
He's not in the team, he's not in the squad. So I'm not sure, maybe an injury, but it wouldn't surprise me, Tom. You're absolutely right, Josie. And that's the... Again, there are many sad indictments of his tenure thus far, but one of the frustrating things is that he doesn't even know his best 11, you know, and he mixes and matches, and again, that has had a massive bearing on the lack of cohesion, rhythm, just attacking flair. I mean, we are an absolute shadow. I say we, Manchester United, the collective we, a shadow, really, of their former selves. And not only that, they're just a million miles away from the leading lights in their same division. Manchester City, Liverpool, I mean, they have gone forward, they have taken great strides in recent years, and United have just had the handbrake on, and in this case, they've actually been in reverse in the last year and a half. And, you know, Jose Mourinho, Tom, I'm saying all the things that I've said, you know, time and time again, but he just looks fed up, you know, to me. When I look at Jose, when I listen to him, it's almost like he's hoping that he's going to get the sack.
Decisions taken away from him.
Interesting comments only in the last 24 hours or so by his agent, Jorge Mendes. Came out and said,
he
said Mourinho's very happy. He has a long-term contract. He's loving work. And then he also came out and said, well, the club's very happy as well. So they're a match made in heaven.
You know, the school of thought there is that they are probably aware that Manchester United are sounding out one or two options. And that is just a way of ensuring that you get your payout and that you can leave with your head held high. And, you know, you can always say, listen, I was loyal to the end. But, yeah, something needs to give. I mean, Manchester United were 15 matches in to the Premier League season, 16 in the case of Liverpool now, and this does not make for good reading. Manchester United are 8th currently. Right now, they are 19 points behind Liverpool. I mean, that's not good enough at any stretch. 19 points this early on the season, that could quite simply and could easily become 30 points. 35 points come the end of the season. Far way short. When you consider that Liverpool haven't lost a game, City haven't lost a game, Manchester United have lost 4. They've also drawn 5 as well.
You know what's disappointing? As we are both United fans, we've just entered December.
We're all United fans, mate.
You're a United fan as well?
We're all United fans.
We're all United fans, of course we are. The disappointing fact of the matter is they can't win the Premier League.
No.
And they're now struggling to qualify for Europe in the top 4. That's the goal now. We know that the Premier League race is run for Manchester United. It's basically going to be a two-horse race, I'm pretty much thinking, all the rest of the way in.
Yep.
That's in December. But we know United now, a top four finish would be a major achievement from where they sit now. And that's a sad indictment of where the club is. But I agree with, was it Russell from TalkSport earlier? We had the chat on Wednesday night, on me and Robbie on Sports Tonight. And I just said it's very simple. I don't think United will sack. However badly Mourinho does now, they will wait until the off-season. They'll wait until they've got their replacement manager lined up. Those managers that they might want to get are not available now. That's just, they're not going to get a manager at this stage of the season who they want, apart from a caretaker or a Michael Carrick, and that's just not satisfactory. It's not the Manchester United way to fire a manager mid-season. They'll give Mourinho the chance to get back in the top four. If he doesn't achieve that, then he's dead man walking, isn't he?
You crystallised it perfectly a couple of weeks back when you said that Manchester United are a business. They're run like a business. So you're right in that regard. They will look at it. I'm sure there's various penal clauses in the system where they will say, right, Jose, you have failed at your first port of call, which is to get us into the top four. Therefore, we can cut this contract and we save ourselves a few million in doing so. But it's coming to an end. There is no doubt in my mind. I know Russell there was saying that if they do make a top four finish, then perhaps Jose continues in this journey. But for me, I've been saying it for weeks. It's gone from bad to worse. And there he is. Look at him. He looks miserable. He's there right now. He looks absolutely miserable. And look at the dark circles around those eyes. He's not sleeping well. He's a man who is not the charismatic Jose Mourinho that we first saw come into English football.
You've got some words from Jose Mourinho. What's he been saying?
I do indeed. This is him just justifying that he's not doing as bad a job as people like me would tell you he is. He's got the stats for you. He said last week that the stats didn't matter, but this week he's got the stats.
Did you find on Wednesday night kind of the mad dogs and the character you were looking for from your players?
Yes. Yes. Even the numbers, the stats, that for me are not fundamental, but sometimes they give us, they support our feelings, they support our ideas, or sometimes they are a contradiction to it. But in this case, I think is just a confirmation with the numbers. Was the match where my team, the globality of the 10 players, run more with higher intensity too. We press the ball more, we put difficulties to the opponent. We were fast in our transitions, so we had that spirit, we had that mentality that brought our game to a good level, to a better level.
Stats, and more stats there from Jose Mourinho. I watched that game, and again, he said they're not fundamental. He's pointing to one or two that shine his side in a good light, but Arsenal should have won that game. They had numerous chances towards the end of it, and United again forced to come back twice to level things up. Four games without a success, and there's no divine right to win football matches. You've got to go and earn it. But I mean, you've seen enough of it. You boys here have seen enough of it. The listeners will have seen enough, I'm sure, of Manchester United this season to know that they're a bit of a laughing stock. They've got all that stockpile of talented individuals. Not able is Jose Mourinho to actually mould that into a functioning unit that will strike fear into the hearts of opponents.
It looks like it may well be our feature game down here at Barassi. Not our feature game here on Dubai Winner 3.8. You've got Arsenal for you on that one. But if you want to come on down and watch it live, then get yourself down to Barassi Beach to be part of the action. We're going to take a short break, but not before I ask Chris McCarthy. Who's Ralph Hasselhoff? I mean,
Hasenhüttl. Oh, where to start? He is an Austrian. He's the new Southampton boss. He has been nicknamed the Alpine Klopp. Nice. For the style with which he brings to football teams. Ingolstadt was a German team that he took up, kept them in the Bundesliga. He then took over at RB Leipzig. I'm a big fan, Tom, and I think you're going to become a big fan of Mr. Hasenhüttl over the course of the next few months.
Why is he? He's a belter.
His teams are awesome. His teams are an absolute joy to watch. They are frenetic. I mean, you think of Jurgen Klopp and his Liverpool teams. Hasenhüttl's teams are bonkers. They just throw everything at. It's gung-ho. It's crazy at times. It's great to watch. And he's a real student of the game. And I think he's a wonderful addition to the Premier League.
Just on that subject, Chris, though, hatchet job on Mark Hughes. He was basically fired within 24 hours. Hasselhoff was appointed.
Hasenhüttl.
Yeah, that's the man. It all happened. It was premeditated. It was done and
ducted.
It was lined up. And that's why Jose Mourinho, the same thing won't happen to him.
I know, I think that's why. I think United, they're like any business. You know it better than I do, man. You're a businessman more than I am. You're always got your feelers out there, right? You're always looking at your options. And the way Manchester United are trending right now, Ed Woodward should be sacked on the spot if he is not doing his due diligence and looking around at the marketplace right now and just ascertaining from various agents as to who might be interested, who is available, who is interested, whether that be now or come the end of the season.
You've got Arsenal against Huddersfield live here on Dubai Winner 3.8. Take 5 games kicking off at 7 o'clock. And then stay tuned straight after that because there's a biggie coming up at 9:30 local time here in the UAE. We've just seen Liverpool do a job on Bournemouth to go top of the league. Liverpool, I'm sure, will be watching on with interest a little later on, hoping that Chelsea can do them a favour.
Yeah, they will be certainly hoping that. It is Chelsea against Manchester City. Interesting little start for you. Maurizio Sarri has never beaten Pep Guardiola in the times that they have met as opposing managers. Man City, a real statement tonight, an opportunity to just, again, lay down another marker. They've laid down so many over the course of the past season, and a third over the course with Champions last season, and then setting the pace this season. But again, they're so difficult to beat, Manchester City. Chelsea will have to do something that not many teams can do, and that's find a way to stop a Pep Guardiola side.
Let's hear from Guardiola now. He's been speaking ahead of this game, hasn't he? What's he been saying?
He certainly has. He's just looking forward to it, and well, he's reminded everyone that it was victory at Stamford Bridge last season that really underlined his side's title credentials.
Looking in perspective, last season winning there was more than 3 points. It's to take part so we can do it. So it was an important step last season. It was, I think, the first important game away. The last champion. They were the last champion in that moment. And it was important to say, yeah, we can go everywhere and we can make good performance. Winning, but good performance. And since then, we continue in that side. And the target is try to do it again. So in these kind of games, I'm so, of course, we want to win. But I'm more focused on how is our behavior, how we are like a team in these kind of stages. That is the most important thing. Or what I will be, you know, I would like to see my team. When I delight the most, or the fact I am proud the most, is the fact is 50, 60 months we are consistent. Every 3 days, that is the most difficult thing. So Champions League sometimes is 7 games. But 60 months every 3 days, that is the most difficult in all sports and all athletes. That's why it's a big compliment for the players. They know it, and I repeat them, I tell them every day. But at the same time, we can drop 2 points the last game in 10 minutes. So after 0-2, we were not the best side, in the best way, playing in Watford. And also there are many, as well, there are many things we can do better. So, and tomorrow we have a huge demanding test for us in game. How is our behavior against good teams and in the biggest stages for prepare the last 6 months for the preparing Europe? So how are we going to react? How are we going to play against team after losing 2 games? So we'll be focused 100%. I can imagine how intense, how aggressive, how commit they will be to don't accept 3 defeats in a row in the Premier League. And that's why it will be a good test for us, how we react on that. So at the end, 15 months is the past. It's a good signal to say, okay, we are consistent, but next challenge. That's why it's nice football. So nothing's going to change. Football, when you are in that period in December, January, when you win and lose, it's become. It doesn't matter, results be calm. Because in 2-3 days later, you have another test. And that is when you have to fort.
Oh, it's a fabulous goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Couple of games over in La Liga. Valencia taking on Sevilla. That's 7:15 this evening local time here in the UAE. Then you've got Villarreal against Celta Vigo at 9:30 this evening, and then Espanyol against Barcelona at 11:45. Couple of goals have gone in the German Bundesliga. First half lead for Bayern Munich against Nuremberg. Borussia Dortmund have scored away at Schalke. There's a goal for Freiburg against Leipzig, and Hoffenheim have taken the lead away at Wolfsburg. There's also goals over in Italy. Chris McCarty.
Yeah, it's half-time over in the early kickoff in Serie A. It's Napoli, second place Napoli, taking on Frosinone, and I can tell you it's Napoli 2, Frosinone 0. Goals from a reshuffled Napoli side. Of course, Carlo Ancelotti looking to safeguard, wrap in cotton wool his key men ahead of that crunch Champions League clash against Liverpool in midweek. And it's Adam Unas, the Frenchman, on the score sheet, and Petr Zielinski, a man who has been linked with Liverpool in the past. Those two individuals on the score sheet at halftime, so it does look indeed as if if Napoli will close the gap on Juventus to just the 8 points. Juventus, winners last night over Inter Milan, they can do no wrong. They will be, I can guarantee it, champions come the end of the campaign.
Thanks very much indeed. Mark Archer also looking at what's happening in the latest rugby at the moment.
Yeah, a couple of interesting results. Let's start with the second leg of the HSBC World 7 Series in Cape Town. I can tell you that's been a very, very interesting result because the defending champions from this event and the team that won in Dubai last weekend, New Zealand, have just been upset with the last play of the game. They've lost to Samoa 21 points to 17. Why is that interesting, Tom? Because New Zealand plays South Africa in the last match of this evening's pool play. If South Africa get one over New Zealand, New Zealand are out, they're done and dusted. They'll be off playing for some other cutlery. They'll be playing for the plate or
the napkin, or the spoon,
knives and forks.
The teacup.
So they'll be out. So that it's almost a must-win match for New Zealand to stay in the quarterfinal draw. So big result there. We've seen wins earlier today. A couple of wins for Scotland, Australia, Fiji, and the USA. Have won two matches. South Africa won their two matches. Wins also for Spain. But that's a big result, and that could throw the interesting sort of elements into play there. Couple of results also now in the early kickoffs of today's Champions Trophy matches, Champions Cup in the European competition. Gloucester are away at Exeter, and Gloucester lead Exeter 27 points to 19 with hardly any time remaining in that match there. So Gloucester 27, looks like they're going to get the winner over Exeter 19. Danny Cipriani's kicked a couple of conversions and also a couple of penalties. He's been pulling the strings for the Gloucester backline. And the result over in France, we're looking like Glasgow Warriors have gone over to France and are going to defeat Lyon. They lead 42 points to 22 with only a couple of minutes remaining. So good wins for Glasgow. That goes with the wins last night. Ulster defeated Scarlets 25-24, and Edinburgh had a good win over Newcastle 31 points to 13.
You watch a lot of Gloucester, I know, Tom, being a Gloucester fan. Danny Cipriani, how good has he truly been?
He's been out of contention over the last, three, four matches because of his red card. He was banned after the red card. No surprise that we haven't really put any results together for that. So first game back for him since that suspension. He's pulling the strings again, and good with the boot, obviously. And he's just that creative dynamo in midfield, and he links things up so nicely. And he's fundamental to them at the moment.
What about England for Danny? Obviously, Eddie's
not going to happen.
No.
I think that ship has
sailed. Ill-disciplined, and
I just don't think he's the sort of player that Eddie Jones would go to. And I don't think Eddie Jones is much of a risk taker when it comes to the players he has in the field. He knows what he likes. He knows the way he likes to play, and he doesn't need a maverick like a Danny Cipriani or a Quade Cooper or a Curtly Beale to a certain idea as well. Those sort of players that can turn it on a sixpence, but at the same time can
let you down as well.
It's not his style, is it? He likes a very solid, consistent type of player, a player that's not going to make mistakes. He can build his patterns around that. And unfortunately, I think for all fans of international rugby, Danny Cipriani doesn't get a chance to showcase his wares. I think he'd be a great element for England. He gives an X factor. He could come off the bench for the last 10 minutes, be a bit of a maverick or a finisher. And just when the game opens up, he's someone that could provide a spark. If England are behind on the scoreboard in a crucial World Cup match, you can just see a Danny Cipriani moment of brilliance, nothing to lose. But he likes his set players, and he likes guys that aren't going to upset the apple cart. And so, unfortunately, I don't think we're going to see much of Danny Cipriani at international level for a while.
It's Arsenal against Huddersfield live here on Dubai Eye 103.8. Stay tuned for that one. And, of course, a little later on, you'll have more details on more live football as well. If you're heading on down to Barasti Beach, then you'll be able to watch Manchester United on the big screen down here. They're just walking out to the pitch. We have been joined in the last dying seconds of the show by another of the team. Mr. Ross Crist has put away the budgie smugglers. He's wiped off the fake tan, and he's back down with us here at Barasti, which is good news because I need you all. I need to go around the table for one final little thought from each and every one of you. This time last week, we were getting very excited about a Fury Wilder fight. In the 7 days since then, the WBC has sanctioned a direct rematch between the heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. Britain's Fury and American Wilder shared the controversial thrilling draw in Los Angeles last weekend. Both fighters have said they want the rematch. Where's it going to be? Ross Crist.
I think it'll be in England. I think you'll see that being played out in the UK, and I hope it's something close to what we witnessed last week, because that was one of the greatest fights I've ever gotten to watch. Yeah. It was simply amazing. The way Fury stood back up and the way Wilder took it in the earlier rounds, simply amazing fight. One of the best fights. I think that is my actual candidate for fight of the year, and round 12 gets my candidate for round of the year as well.
So back in England for you, Chris McCarty, where's it going to be?
I think it will be in England as well. I think Fury is now, despite the fact Wilder maintained the belts, Fury has now got the, he's now the A side, because he produced a masterclass. Okay, he was knocked down twice, so it's probably not a masterclass in that, but he outboxed Wilder. He schooled him at times. I mean, for me, I had it down, he won 8 rounds, Wilder won the 2, and then of course the 2 knockdowns, which gave him a 10-8. I had it down as 114-112, but of course I can get on board with the draw because of the fact that Tyson Fury hit the canvas twice. But if he can just maintain the focus and concentration, interesting to see on his social media today, he is back in the gym, he wants to lose even more weight. He can, I believe he can outbox Wilder for the full 12 rounds. I actually believe he'd go one step further and outbox AJ for 12 rounds. It'll be in the UK, I'm sure of it.
Two for the UK, almost out of time. Mark Archer?
I think Fury said he'd like to have it at Old Trafford during the week. I think he's a Manchester United fan, and he was there for that match against Arsenal, saying he'd like to have the fight there. Concur with Chris and Roscoe. I think it was a great fight. I think the result, looking back at it, was fair. I think one of the judges got the scoring terribly wrong, but the fact that Wilder was had the belt, the fight was in Vegas, I think to go and take the belt, he had to have a bit more of a dominant performance, and those two knockdowns counted against them. So I think, all in all, boxing's the winner, sport's the winner. We're going to see a rematch, and that's good for the sport. And the heavyweight division has been the most exciting it's been probably for 2 decades.
It's probably the most excitement they have at Old Trafford for about the last 24 months as well.
Touché, my man. Touché.
Right, apologies to all our Romanian listeners out there, because I know we got hundreds. I still haven't got the answer. They haven't given it on the thing. So we're going to go with Mutu. And
Mutu, I reckon, and I'd be tempted to say Moldovan.
Okay. Thanks very much indeed for listening to you all. That was The Grill. Stay tuned. You've got Arsenal against Huddersfield, courtesy of TalkSport, to Mark Archer, to Chris McCarty, to Ross Chris, and to all of the team listening in. And, of course, Benji, Sajid, and all the crew back at house as well for keeping us on air. We're back next week from 4 till 7. Until then, enjoy football.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.